والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not check one set of people by means of another, the earth will indeed be full of mischief. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of bounty to the alameen. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a sunnah, made it a way that evil and righteousness and haqq, truth, will always fight against each other. Till the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep this going. To check the people, to bring out the good and leave the filth down in the bottom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of His sunnah, that He checks your iman. Part of His sunnah, He checks your beliefs. Part of His sunnah, He checks your obedience to Him. Sometimes, in the means of giving you leadership and power. And sometimes, in the means of preventing you from leadership and power. And sometimes, in a way of taking your wealth away from you. And sometimes, in giving you wealth. But as for the ones, they follow their whims, and they follow their desires, and they follow the hawa, they are the misguided. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And do not follow the whims. Indeed, will misguide you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us from many so-called scholars and ulama. And that is the title of the lecture today. Scholars of Falsifiers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala checks the belief of the believers. He checks their heart. Whom they're going to follow. Where they are going to go. When you hear a statement from scholars, so-called scholars, not according to the Quran, not according to the Sunnah, not according to the consensus of the Ummah, not according to any opinion of the renowned opinion of the ulama. So they can misguide. So they can mislead the people. So they can mislead the Muslims. So they can gain the positions they are looking for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made these people to be drums of evil, to be flutes of evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to what He says. الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. These are the ones who love evil to spread amongst the believers. There is a group of people, my brothers, who are like that. And let me go back a little bit in history to show you how institutions of light can turn into institutions of evil. Places of light, how when rulers and tyrants get their hands on it, they change it and becomes a place for shaitan to indwell and spread the misguidance and the mischief amongst the believers. And one of these examples, and I always had the respect in my heart towards some of the institutions, no matter what, I would never talk about it. But today, the words must be spoken. The truth must be said. We have to say what we need to say as Muslims and to warn our brothers in Islam. Because my brothers, some of us, when they hear the title of Mufti, their heart is shaken. When they hear the title of Ash-Shaykhul Akbar, the great Shaykh, you get scared. He's the great Shaykh. How can you rebuke him and refute him? When you hear a title like Al-Imam Al-A'lam, the great, now most knowledgeable Imam. You get scared. But who gave you this title? Who chosen you with this title? Is it other ulama? They said this is who you are? Or a corrupt tyrant who said, I'll give you this title and I'll give you all the TV channels and all the cameras will be turning towards your direction. And the people would listen. Yeah, you see, he's the alim. Who are you to talk? Yeah, but how did he become an alim? Did other ulama elect him? When an institution, my brothers and sisters in Islam, like the Vatican, you know how they choose the Pope? They all meet in one room and they close the door and they discuss amongst them who's to be the next Pope. But when you go to some of the Islamic universities today, it is what the leader says he is. And then he becomes the greatest scholar. Even if he is a donkey, he still be given the title of the great Sheikh. That is the truth. That is the reality, my brothers. Al-Azhar University, the great university, the greatest university in Islamic history, Al-Azhar University. When Napoleon Bonaparte conquered our countries, Egypt, and he took it, and he was at the pinnacle of victory. He controlled most of the world, and he was one of the greatest, as the heroist in history described it, one of the greatest conquerors. After that, what happened? Who defeated Napoleon Bonaparte? It is the Azhar Islamic University that defeated Napoleon Bonaparte. The ulama of the Azhar University, they're the one who incited the people for a revolution against him. And they're the one who incited the jihad against Napoleon Bonaparte. And then he turned his back and he put his tails between his legs and he driven out of Egypt. Allahu Akbar. This is when the alim who's elected, he's elected by ulama. He is chosen by ulama, not by bachelors and PhDs and masters and all this. That was nothing. When the ulama say you're a alim, then you're a alim. And Imam Malik, he said, I couldn't give a fatwa. I couldn't give a fatwa until 72 muhannak testified to me, to my knowledge. You know what a 72 muhannak? The alims in his days, they used to wear the amama, the turban, and they run it under their, here under their chin, around their neck and under it, and they used to call him muhannak. Yani around his hanak, his jaw. He became an alim, and he was able to give the fatwa. But today, as snakes appear, and they speak about some of the most important issues in Islam. Consensus amongst the Muslims. Consensus, my brothers, amongst the Muslims is broken as if there is nothing. The man, Al-Imam Al-Akbar, they call him. Shaykh Al-Azhar, the Shaykh of Azhar University. I'm just using this as an example. As an example to you, my brothers. Because these personalities will be repeated throughout history. Now you're 25, when you're 50, when you're 35, when you're 40, you will hear someone comes up with the weed. Don't be scared, don't be shocked, don't be worried. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the ummah, as I said earlier, with people like this. The ummah get tested. Are you going to follow him because he gave you the way out? Because he gave you a way out, or you're going to follow the Quran and the Sunnah? It is not the cameras who makes a alim alim. It is not a beautiful decorated website makes a alim alim. It is not the Sky Channels that makes a alim alim. It is not George Bush that makes a alim alim. It is not the Western countries who make a alim alim. It is not the governments in the Middle East that make him alim alim. It is his knowledge, his words, when they coincide and adhere to the Quran and Sunnah. That what makes him a scholar. As the ulama said, طفل الإسلام يرد على شيخ الإسلام إذا كان الدليل معه. The baby in Islam can refute the Shaykh al-Islam if he has the proof. If you have the proof, no one can stand against you. And that does not give an allowance to brothers to go at the bait and cause problems, because some brothers, they go ahead in themselves. No, but this is a saying the ulama they put to show you the honor is for knowledge, not for people. Not for people. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the great hadith, he gave it as a guidance to this ummah. When he said, when a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him a question, after this beautiful khair, goodness that we see, is there evil? He says, yes, there will be evil. Then he said, is there a khair after that? He said, will be khair. But it has a dakhan in it. It's smoky, it's unclear. Then they questioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the dakhan? What is the smoke? What is the unclear, O Prophet of Allah? He said, du'atun ala abwabi jahannam. Call us on the doors of Jahannam. Call us on the door of Jahannam. يَهْتَدُونَ بِغَيْرِ هَدِي. They guide the people with other than my guidance. وَيَسْتَنُونَ بِغَيْرِ سُنَّتِي. And they follow other than my sunnah. تَعْرِفُ مِنْهُمْ وَتُنْكِرْ. You know from them and you know things and you reject other things from them. دُعَاتٌ عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ جَهَنَّمْ. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, مَنْ أَجَابَهُمْ. Whomever answers they call, قَذَفُوهُ فِي جَهَنَّمْ, in the hellfire. My brothers, that is a warning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he described them, قَوْمٌ مِنْ جِلْدَتِنَا, people from our skin, يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِنَا, they speak with our tongue. What does this? Don't confuse it, that means from our skin, yani they have an olive skin like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No! But their appearance is the appearance of a alim. He wears you the turban. He wears you the nice sa'ud ghutra, that red thing and the white thing. He wears you the turban and he wears the white cap and he dressed in a beautiful, nice, well-ironed $500 adaffa abaya. And he speaks and you say, MashaAllah. Ya Habibi, what MashaAllah? Yes, MashaAllah, but are you listening to the garbage that is coming out from his mouth? When a alim, he's supposed to be the greatest shaykh of the greatest university in Islam, he says riba is halal. Give me one alim, one scholar in Islam, since you opened your big mouth, said this before you. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram. How would you trust someone who says riba is halal? And he said, this is fawaid. You probably heard this before, but this is one of the fatwas. This is fawaid, yani interest. Yani you're interested to take it. It sounds good on the ear. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there's a time will come to my ummah, they change the words, they change the labels and the names of the haram things to easy names. This way, it doesn't have this negative effect on your ear. When you hear it, you say, yeah, interest. Interesting. Let's take interesting stuff. He made it, he said it is halal. But what is the ilm? What is the ilm? When this great sheikh, he goes and meets in interfaith dialogue. Wallahi, I don't want to speak. But it just because I was feeling so sad. I am feeling so heartbroken about the latest claims he made, which is I will tell you about it. But I don't want to speak. This is not my nature. But I can't hold back anymore. It is like a knife cutting through my heart. When people we're supposed to look up to, they let you down. Instead of him being in the front row to defend Al-Aqsa, which has been raped every day. As we speak, they're raping the Aqsa. You have brothers sitting in the Aqsa on a strike today. You have brothers dying on the doors of the Aqsa. You have babies being slaughtered on the doors of the Aqsa. You have your brothers and sisters dying. And he goes to meet with, this is in Hiwar al-Adyan, in the interfaith dialogue. What is the interfaith dialogue? That we all follow Ibrahimic religion. And we all to Jannah. That's why one of them, he said, Pope, when he died, Rahimahullah. What Rahimahullah? This is the corruption that you have today. Who turns up to this Himar al-Adyan, as one of the shuyukh said, yani the donkeys of, Himar is the donkey, Himar al-Adyan, the donkeys of
interfere dialogue. Who turns up? George Bush. طيب يا أخي, give me the Pope. I want to speak حوار الأديان. Give me someone Christian. Who turns up? Shimon Peres. You know, he's one of the ministers of Israel. And that Imam al-Akbar, he puts his hand, not one hand, two hands, and she shakes his hands. Not one hand, two hands. He's giving him the warmth of Islam. The warmth of Iman with two hands. May Allah curse you both. What's this? This man is slaughtering your brothers and sisters in Islam. And this is what you do? Because he hugged them also, to the rabbis of the Jews. He did hug them also, as the photos show. That is who's leading the Muslims. Also, the fatwa that he came up with it, and listen to the fatwa. He said to a girl inside a classroom just a week ago, why are you wearing the niqab inside a Muslim, inside a university for women only? Why are you wearing the niqab? Remove the niqab. All your friends are girls. The teacher said to him, she said, yeah, Sheikh, when you walked in, she put the niqab, but she didn't have it on, the face cover. But when you walked in, he said, but this is not from Islam. This is a habit. This is something introduced to Islam. Maybe he forgot that he's a man, that a woman needs to cover her face in front of him. That's what he said. He said, this is a habit. Something introduced to Islam. It's not part of Islam. Now give me one alim. We know there's a difference of opinion, which is, I'll give you the proofs later. In the lecture, I'll give you the proofs. Give me one alim, one, a student of knowledge, who said this is not part of Islam. We all know it's either obligatory or preferred to do. And even the ones who said it is a preferred to do, even the ones who said it is a preferred to do, they said in the time of fitna, the woman must cover her face. Give me one dalil of what you said. My brothers, the point, it's not a war on the niqab. It's a war on Islam. It's a war on the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because the revival of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah inside Egypt motivated the women to wear niqab. Because most of the shuyukh over there on their opinion, that it is obligatory on a woman to cover her face. It is a war against that. Al-Azhar University for a very, very long time, many scholars were graduating from it, until the modern government, they said, we elect the Shaykh and the Imam. So once we elect the Shaykh and the Imam, what happened? They choose whomever they like. Someone who to fulfill their agenda. What do you think the Muslims cannot meet on Shahr Ramadan? Because the Azhar and his followers take the calculations, and Saudi and the followers, they take by moon sighting. And that's why you can't. Reality goes back to there. This institution, Al-Azhar, my brothers and sisters in Islam, was built by the Ubaidiyin. You know who's the Ubaidiyin? The Fatimid, an extreme Shia sect. And they called it, that's why Al-Azhar comes from the word Al-Zahra, Fatima al-Zahra. See, Fatima al-Zahra related back to the Shia. What happened? They built it so they can spread their deviancy. Then after that, Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah, when he took it, he turned it to Ahl al-Sunnah institution. And remained like that till these modern tyrants came in and they said, we elect the Shaykh of the, we elect the Imam. So he has to fulfill the agenda because he's been elected by them. And that is the history behind it. The same Shaykh, this one, when the Minister of France, he wanted a fatwa. You know how they banned the hijab in France in the public schools? You know how, where he got the approval from? He went to Shaykh al-Azhar. Wallahi, when I heard he went to Shaykh al-Azhar at that time, I said, oh man, alhamdulillah, now the Shaykh is going to tell him off so badly. It's going to make him feel that small. You talking about freedom, you talking about the democracy, you talking about this. Let the people worship God. He said to him, no, it's your right, it's your right, it's your right to legislate any way you like. He took a fatwa from the Azhar and he said, hey Muslims, that is the greatest university, that's where he's saying, so it's our right to tell the woman, you're not allowed to wear hijab in public schools. That is the truth, my brothers. And today, because of the Shaykh al-Azhar, the fatwa about niqab, that is not part of Islam, Italy wants the same thing too. So hey, look at him, the greatest institution. We are suffering, my brothers, to keep the hijab on the heads of our wives. And we are suffering to eliminate racism and prosecutions against our wives, and we get fatwas like this. How can someone be silent after this? How can someone be silent after this and not talk and get angry? That is a reality that we are living in. My brothers and sisters, there is a sickness of being famous. When you see no one listens to you, and no one puts you up there where you think you deserve to be, then you come up with weird opinions so people can elevate you, so people can talk about you. It is like someone who wanted the people to recognize him, who wanted the people to praise him, he wanted the people for so and so and so. You know what he done? Because no one is praising him, he went and urinated inside the masjid. So the people beat him up and he was happy. He said, now I'm fine, people know me. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let me give you an example from the Quran and give you a story. That story, the story of Bul'am Ba'ura. Who's that Bul'am Ba'ura? This man in the Bani Israel, from the children of Israel, after Ta'ala saved Musa from Fir'aun, these people were allies and they were on the way to Palestine. These people, when that Bul'am was there, he was a scholar. He had knowledge, so much knowledge. But people really didn't care about him. And he had in his heart, why people don't care about me? I want people to listen to me, to praise me. I'm an alim, I'm a scholar. People aren't praising me. He always had it in his heart. And he was neglected by his people. These people never looked after him. And this man, he was in that town, which that town already had a treaty with Fir'aun, that will side with Fir'aun against Musa. Now, Bani Israel were passing by. They knew that Bani Israel now are victorious, so they got scared. Bani Israel now, they are big in numbers, and they are going to destroy us. So what they have done, they said that he is a righteous man with ilm, and maybe his dua is accepted, let's run to him. When they ran to him, they said, Ya Bul'am, we will make you our leader. They're giving him what he wants. We will make you our leader. We will praise you and put you up there. Just make dua against Musa and his followers. Maybe Allah will destroy him. He said, you people are crazy. This is the Prophet of Allah, and he has an army, and the angels are supporting him from Allah. How can I make a dua against him? They said, just make dua and we'll make it. If Allah will listen to you, he will make you, we will make you a leader amongst us. So this man stood and made dua against Musa. And made dua and made dua and made dua that Allah would destroy Musa and Bani Israel. They slept. The second day they woke up, Musa, nothing wrong with him, and the army still good. So what do we do? He said to them, I have lost my hereafter. I have lost my hereafter. Yani, khalas, I made dua against the Prophet. Yani, I'm not good in front of my Lord anymore. He said, but I'm not going to lose my dunya. I'm not going to lose my position. Because if Musa comes and attacks us, I lose my leadership. It'll be taken to Musa. They said, all right, what do we do? After he was a alim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. We gave him our verses, our knowledge, our proof. What he said, get the most beautiful looking women from amongst you. Imagine, he used to give him da'wah to be chaste. Now he's in the see-through clothing, and let him wear makeup and take things to sell to Bani Israel. And if any soldier from the soldiers of Bani Israel want to sleep with any of you, let her not stop him and let her go with him to the tent. Because he knows, once this is zina, once adultery is spreading amongst the army khalas going to fail in any battle. He said, send them and give them things to sell and let them go and sell And then they did exactly that. Shuf, from an alim, because he wants position, because he wants to be seen, because he wants to be known, because of the sickness of his heart, he came up with weird things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and listen how Allah describes a person with that.
وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ.
And recite, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, to them story of him to whom we gave our ayat, proof, evidence, verses, lessons, signs, revelation, extra. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. You'll find in the translation they would say, but he threw them away. فَانْسَلَخَ, my brothers, it is when you unskin the sheep. When you rip the skin of the sheep, that is ansalakh. And this is how he ansalakh from the ilm. It's like you unskinned him from the religion.
فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. So the shaitan followed him up. Satan followed him up, and he became of those who went astray.
Yani not only the knowledge was taken away, he was followed up to go to Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. Because the shaitan kept on persisting after him until he put him in Jahannam. And listen to the words of Allah.
وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا.
And if we will, we will elevate him with our verses.
وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ.
Indeed he clung to the earth. He wanted to be on the earth. He clinged down. Allah wanted to, if he wanted him, he would have elevated him. Because Allah here in their heart. But the ones who are not sincere in their heart, Allah will leave them down. And Allah, if he wanted to, he will elevate him.
But he chosen to cling on to the earth.
وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. And he followed his whims and desires.
فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ.
Look, Allah gave the example. His parable, his example is the example of a dog.
إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ يَلْهَثْ. So his parable is the parable of a dog. If you drive him away, he lolls his tongue out. Or if you leave him alone, he still lolls his tongue out.
Why? Because the dog, he wants to something. He's opening his mouth and his tongue is dangling. Give me. So whether you drive him or you don't drive him, he will always stay the same. Yani his personality is the same. He's not going to change whether he's got knowledge or he does not have knowledge. And this is ذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. This is the parable of the people who lie and reject our verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in different verse, he showed us also another great parable. He said,
مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا.
The example of this, the parable of people like this, is the parable of the ones who light up a fire.
فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ. When the fire lit everything that is around him,
ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their lights.
وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ.
And he left them in darkness that cannot see. سُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They are deaf, dumb and blind, so they return not to the right path. What does it mean? The parable Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts for you is the people who light up a fire. From that fire there is light. So what is that fire? It's Islam. This fire is the fire of Islam and ilm and knowledge. It shines. And when that fire lit up and it's shining and giving light, Allah took their light. What is their light? Their light inside their hearts. How is that? For you to see the truth, my brother, for you to see any object, you need the light of the sun and the light of the eye. True or not? Yani the light could be in front of you, but if your eye is blind, you cannot see it. And you can have the light of your eye, but the light in the sun is not there. It is darkness. You still can't see. So Islam and knowledge, not enough. You need the light in the heart. And that is the example of the dog who lulls his tongue. Whatever you do, whether you drive him away or you give him anything, he's still like that. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. Like example of the donkey who carries his books on his back and the scrolls on his back. Yani the donkey is carrying knowledge. Can we doubt he's not? No, he is carrying scrolls and knowledge on his back. But he's like a donkey. He would not be able to benefit. So the knowledge by itself, my brothers, does not make you a scholar. Does not make you a alim. Does not make it even make you a student of knowledge. It is the light of the heart. It is the light inside the heart that meets the knowledge. That's why you can see the truth. And that's why you see so many people. He can sit down and give you three lectures and he brings knowledge and he brings knowledge. You say, what's this man? MashaAllah, he's a machine. Look how much he's talking. No paper, nothing in front of him. And he's giving out the knowledge. You think, MashaAllah, it's like a radio cassette. Indeed, he is the radio cassette. You know why? Because it's only on the tongue, there's nothing in the heart. You need that light. You need that light inside the heart. What is the use if I study for 15 years and get a PhD and I have no fear of Allah inside my heart? I have nothing inside my heart. Some of the companions, one verse were enough for them. One verse or enough, khalas, I'm convinced. Imam al-Shafi'i, when he said about Surah Al-Asr, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, by the time, indeed, mankind in a great loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except the one who believed and did righteous deeds, and they enjoined each other with the truth and enjoined each other with patience. He said, if Allah just revealed this, will be enough for all mankind for guidance. That's it. We don't need other than this surah. Why? Because of the light inside the heart of Imam al-Shafi'i. He was able to see. He was able to see that one surah in the Quran, three verses, four verses are enough for guidance of mankind. We don't need all this. How many companions that were guided by hearing one verse? Because the light is there. But today, it becomes positions. Wallahi, I have some brothers who tell me that inside some Islamic universities, people who shave their beard, smoke cigarettes, they sell you, we are here not for the ilm, so we can get a certificate and get a job. Where is the light? So this person, of course, is going to learn something because he's going to be tested and graduate. But كَالْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا, like a donkey carrying scrolls. And that's why Allah described them Sumit. Why they are deaf, dumb and blind? And listen to the words of Allah. What are the entrances for guidance? Ears, your eyes, and if your heart, if your eyes are sealed and your ears are sealed and your heart can think, there is no more guidance. And that's what it is, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Just very quickly, in the next 5 minutes, I want to show you the dalils of the Imam that this so-called alim, he ignored. And listen to what Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said. He said, لَمْ تَزَلْ عَادَةُ النِّسَاءِ قَدِيمًا وَحَدِيثًا يَسْتُرْنَ وُجُوهَهُنَّ عَنِ الْأَجَانِبِ. He said, the women continuously, in the olden days, since the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and in nowadays, he said, they would cover their faces away from the strange men. And another alim bin Raslan, he said, اتفاقُ المسلمين, the Muslims have agreed, على منع النساء أن يخرجن سافرات الوجوه, that it is agreed amongst the Muslims that a woman not allowed to travel while her face is showing. I told you there's a difference of opinion. But I'm just showing you to what extent the ulama have gone to. To say it has been introduced to Islam, what is tomorrow? The whole hijab is not from Islam. And if we don't stop now, and if we do not say the words now, and if we don't stand up for it now, tomorrow they will chase you even for your salat. For your salat. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, Ibn Abbas rahimahullah said, radiallahu anhu, he said about the verses of hijab, which is in it, yani he said, أمر الله نساء المؤمنين, Allah ordered the women of the believers, إذا خرجنا من بيوتهن, when they leave their houses, في حاجة أن يغطين وجوههن, to cover their faces, من فوق رؤوسهن, from above their head, بالجلابيب ويبدين عينا واحدة, with the jilbab and they would show only one eye. The ulama, they said, some ulama said two eyes you can show. That's the opinion of Ibn Abbas for the tafsir of the verse Surah Al-Ahzab 59. But there is no one from the ulama said it has been introduced to Islam. It is a habit the Arabs had. No one said this until in the last 15 to 20 years we're hearing this. We fatawi and words from so-called shuyukh and ulama that goes against the whole ummah and the consensus of the ummah. I forgot to mention this. After the woman, she got scared from his, of course, bodyguards, she removed the niqab. You know what he said to her? He said, "You're ugly anyway, why are you covering your face?" Wallahi, that's what he said. He said, "You're ugly anyway, why are you covering your face? You don't need to cover your face." So my brothers, the lesson that I want you to walk out of here with, not everything you hear you believe. You're going to stand up in front of Allah. You and you and you. Each one of you on his own. And wallahi, no one can defend you. I cannot stand. If you say, wallah, I listen to Abu Adnan, or I listen to Shaykh Al-Azhar, or that the riba halal, or I listen to this Shaykh, or to that Shaykh, that would not be an excuse for you in front of Allah. You have to do your homework. At least in the basic things of Islam. There are things that are deep, which is you will never reach to the bottom of it unless you're a student of knowledge. But these things are apparent. Like the issue of riba, usually. Like the issue of hijab. Like the issue of shaking the hand of a woman. All these issues, the modern fatawi that is coming out to allow it, which is known basically from Islam, if there is doubt, then... If there is doubt, then you research it. And you ask. Because to say, this alim said, because it suits your whims, would not be a good enough excuse in front of Allah. Would not be an excuse good enough in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of wasting time watching cricket and footy and finals and that garbage, go research and read. Internet is in front of you. The shuyukh a phone call away from you. The people of knowledge. The Quran sitting on your shelf. It's been 3 weeks since Ramadan. Dust it off now and read and research and learn and see what Ibn Abbas said and Ibn Mas'ud said and other companions about the hijab and issues if you have doubt. But I'm sure you brothers don't have doubt. Another lesson I want you to work out from, then don't be cheated with big titles today. Don't let that cheat you. Be smarter than that, bigger than that. Don't be cheated easily. Yani, one of the ex-muftis in Australia, what did he say? He said about the women who wear black garment and cover her face, he said, she looks like a ghost. She scares the children in the markets. Well, she doesn't scare my children. If it scares your children, that's your fault. Because you didn't teach your children Islam properly. She scares the children. Yani subhanAllah. Mockery to the pinnacle. And having titles, don't let that worry you. Don't let it worry you. Because today, who gives the titles? 99% is the governments and corrupt bodies. They don't become scholars because other scholars said they are scholars. They're the ones who are giving the people titles that they do not deserve it. So let us not be cheated. And let us be firm in the Quran and Sunnah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His names and attributes to guide us and keep us on the straight path and not to mislead us. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu. Questions, inshallah, we take them. Otherwise, we seal the night.